Today on the show, I went to the Australian Open and I have so many more thoughts on tennis. I played the worst video game I've ever played in my life. Plus, what the hell really went down on Jeffrey Epstein's island? All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the only show with a no refunds policy. To 20th Century Boy, my name is Mikey O, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, welcome to the show. Hello. My name's actually Radio Mike. This is my podcast, 20th Century Boy, a weekly one-sided conversation with me that you can't respond to. I start every week with a different name that's like a Mike-themed pun. This week went with Mikey O in reference to Jackie O from famous Australian radio show Kyle and Jackie O. Mikey O, cool. Then actually started thinking, why is Jackie O's name Jackie O? Because her surname does not start with O. Her name is Jackie Henderson. So why does she go by Jackie O? A few conspiracies happening here in the podcast land. I'm uncovering some pretty serious stuff. Where does Jackie O come from? I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the podcast, everyone. As I said, 20th Century Boy, the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. That's the conceit of the podcast. That's the main idea, right? This is a plog. I call it a plog because there's blog, which is a weblog. There's vlog, which is a video log. A plog is a podcast log, right? That's what this is. So it's just me talking 45 minutes each week. Tune in, get into the mind of Mike, go for it. A few things that a bunch of stuff I've got to talk about this week. First of all, I wanted to do a couple little follow-ups. And by the way, you can get in touch with the show, put your thoughts across, answer any questions, ask any questions, you know, radiomikepod@gmail.com or any way that you'd like to contribute. We'd love to have you there. Great to be back for season 6, by the way. Awesome to be back for our 6th year. First thing, I wanted to do two updates from last week's episode, the first episode of the year. First one is, I talked about last week a few ideas that I've got that I want to do on the show. And one of those ideas was a movie club that I'm going to do with producer Pat. Basically, each month we're going to watch a movie like a book club and then discuss it on a podcast. And we've decided we're going to go ahead with that. We're going to do it. It's just going to be a thing we do this year. Listeners, you can get involved as much or as little as you want. We're basically, at the end of each month, we'll record an episode on the movie we watched. How we decide the movies is just going to be pretty random based on movies in my letterboxed watch list. And decided we're going to start the year by doing the movie Now You See Me from 2013, which is a heist film where magicians do like a heist of a casino, I think. Haven't seen it. Remember seeing the trailer for it in 2013 when it came out and being like, that movie looks awesome. I've got to watch it. And then never seeing it. And now it's been 11 years. So I'm finally going to watch it. And usually you'll have more time, but basically we're probably going to record it next week sometime on probably Thursday next week. So if you can watch Now You See Me in the next week for the episode to come out on the 31st, that's Movie Club this month. And then for February, I'll announce it earlier so you have the whole month to figure out when you can watch it. But yeah, send in any thoughts if you've seen it before. But yeah, Movie Club is going to be a thing for this year. I'm hoping to just, I might talk about it quickly here. I do want to try and utilize this podcast feed, and I wonder if people would be annoyed about this, but like, obviously I still want to do an episode of TCB every week, but would people be annoyed if I put some, I mean, I already do it with like the World Tour bonus edition, the movie club will be on this feed. If I put other stuff on this feed, sometimes sort of midweek, I have an idea for a video or something I want to make or something I want to talk about that I'll put on YouTube. And then I'm like, well, why don't I just put this on the podcast feed as well if people want to listen to it? So I'm still thinking about how to best handle that and like maybe making TCB more like personal anecdote kind of podcast. I don't know. And then just, I don't know. I'm just always thinking about how this feed should operate. But anyway, like just give me any, if anyone has thoughts on that, please let me know. The other thing, and so yeah, me and Pat will be doing the movie club. If you want more of Pat, patreon.com/patandmike. Such a fun show. We put clips up as well on the TCB Pod Insta and my TikTok and YouTube. Go support us on Patreon. If you listen to this show every week and get something out of it, please jump on the Patreon. Just support us. Every little dollar counts. We are an independent podcast. We don't have a team. You guys are our support. So thank you so much. The other thing I talked about last week on the show, how my goal for 2024 is I wanted to learn the harmonica. I wanted to be able to pick up a harmonica and be able to play it well, right? I just thought that would be a cool goal. Did end up buying a harmonica on Amazon, and you know, it came pretty quickly, as Amazon does. It was about $35. So, you know, I hope it's a good harmonica. Realized a couple things. Basically, the key thing I realize is that I'm pretty sure, I actually think if you have any background in music or playing any instrument or singing, I think the harmonica is actually quite easy. That's what I've realized. I haven't watched any YouTube tutorials. I haven't even researched the harmonica at all, but I actually think I'm already pretty good at it. And don't get me wrong, like, I just think the harmonica is an easy instrument for anyone who has a musical background, which I do, right? And here's sort of the proof of that. And maybe don't take this as me backtracking, but I might need to adjust my goal because, you know, what I realized is the other thing I realized about harmonica is harmonica is quite an annoying instrument. I actually don't think anyone enjoys listening to a solo harmonica. I feel like the harmonica really shines as part of an ensemble. It's kind of like when Joey from Friends got a spin-off. Like, everyone loved Joey as one of the friends, but when he got a spin-off that was just Joey, no one liked him. And it failed. I feel like the harmonica is Joey. Right? The harmonica works best as an ensemble. Send in your favorite harmonica moments in songs, right? There's a lot of them. Probably the most classic, and I think I realized this is actually why I wanted to play harmonica, is of course, Piano Man. Okay, so that's Piano Man, Billy Joel. Classic song, beautiful song, great song, right? And there's harmonica there. And I genuinely took the harmonica out of the box, unboxed it, put it to my mouth. I'm like, I wonder how easy it is to play Piano Man, the harmonica riff. Within a few seconds, I literally was able to whip this out. So basically, without even looking into anything or like how to play harmonica, how to play Piano Man, I literally did that. I just was like, yes, this, okay, yeah. Really easy. So I think, I don't know if I'm going to persist with harmonica, okay? That's what I want to be honest with you guys, the listeners, about. And again, send in your favorite harmonica moments from songs, but decided I'm going to adjust that goal, okay? I'm ditching harmonica, but instead, another goal I've always had, which I want to learn in 2024, which I think will take more skill and practice, similar to the Rubik's Cube last year. I want to learn how to do like a little sleight of hand magic trick, right? Like where you hold a coin up and then you sort of do that, do this, wave your arm and then the coin's gone. And you know, I'm pretty sure what happens is it's sort of behind your fingers, but I think I want to learn how to do that, and that's going to be a big goal for 2024. So watch this space, okay? Went to the Australian Open yesterday for a whole day, probably 11 till 6. We were there, watched a bunch of matches, including Kokkinakis, who's an Australian player. That was a really good match. And I do have a few thoughts on tennis that I need to get off my chest. Is there honestly someone who can explain to me, I know this is Googleable, but can someone please explain to me the logic behind tennis scoring? Because as far as I can tell, tennis is just a game where you hit a ball over a net and it's really fun and entertaining to watch. But The scoring system just seems needlessly complex because it goes love 15, 30, 40. If two people on 40, it becomes a deuce. And then you get an advantage and then you can win. If you win that, you win a game. There are six games in a set, right? You have to win by two games. And then it's best of five sets in men's tennis. Can anyone explain where this comes from? Like, why can't it just be whoever wins a rally like 30 times? If you win whoever first to 30, it's just 1 point per win first to 30. What? Who invented all this shit around sets and games and stuff? 15, 30, 40. Why can't it just be like, all right, you won, you're on one, you're on zero. What is love? Where did love come from? When did love become a word from zero? Again, I know I can Google this, but I want to vent about it and complain about it. Can someone please explain this to me? Where did all this come from? The other thing about tennis that I think, again, the scoring system kind of makes me think this, right, is if you're playing tennis and it's best of five sets, right, say you're playing against the opponent and they've already won two sets. So if they win the next set, they win the match, right, because they'll have three of the five. And a lot of these tennis matches go for like 3 hours, 5 hours. Like, you're on there in the sweltering Melbourne summer heat. It's really hot out there. And like, part of me thinks that if you're playing against an opponent and they're two sets up and they've got a few games on you in this third set, maybe this is just me, but I would definitely be like, oh, even if I try really hard to win this set, then I still have to play two more sets and win them to beat this guy. Is it worth that? Or am I better off just losing the game so I don't have to keep playing, right? Because, and I think a lot of tennis players have to make that call. Like, am I going to try or am I just going to sort of let this one go? And I think you can see them, like, sometimes they are having that internal conflict with themselves where they're like, maybe I'll just give it to him. And I can't imagine them being like, oh, if I just lose now, I get to go home. Now, I said this to Claire and I think like we both were like, well, I guess like you can win like millions of dollars playing tennis. It is incredible. Like, I think I'm realizing more and more how old I am coming into my 30th year, right? When like you look at this guy, Kokkinakis, Aussie guy, who's won like, I think $27 million playing tennis. He's 2 years younger than me. He's made more money playing tennis than I probably will in my entire lifetime, right? He has made so much money. These tennis players are just making so much money. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, they're probably getting more money for this match than I have in my bank account. And it's crazy. So maybe when there's that much money up for grabs, you're just totally happy to fight for it. But I do think, but then I'm like, if I had like $50 million, what's another 1 million? It's like, I'll just leave the 1 mil. I've got 50 mil already. I'm already earning interest on that 50 mil. Sometimes I think if you have $1 million just in cash, right? In a bank account, and you've got it in a bank account that pays 5% interest per annum, right? Then you're getting $50,000 a year from a bank for nothing. Like, you'll get 50K interest on your $1 million on a 5%. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about interest rates in bank accounts, but like, basically, I think there's a point where if you just get to $1 million, then you're making, I guess it's hard to make $1 million. Anyway, I wasn't intending on talking about that. The other thing I did this week, which was probably really stupid, is like, as you may have heard, if you've been listening to the World Tour bonus episodes, which I know a lot of you have, and thanks for the feedback on those, you'll know in Europe, I found a new obsession with Dr. Pepper. I'm obsessed with Dr. Pepper now. I love it. And I've been ordering Dr. Pepper online from this website called USA Foods, non-sponsored, wannabe sponsored. And the mail, the postal delivery guy didn't ring the doorbell, so didn't deliver it and took it to the post office. I don't have a car, so I couldn't drive to the post office to pick it up. I'm like, well, I really want my Dr. Pepper, but it's going to be really heavy because I bought like 36 cans of Dr. Pepper. It's going to be a heavy package. I don't have a car. I can't, the post office is like a 20 minute walk away. I can't carry that for 20 minute walk. So I decided to just get a scooter, an e-scooter, and I scooted there. And then I got the box and probably did one of the most dangerous things I've ever done, but I just didn't care. I put the box on the scooter and then I knelt on the box and scooted home. And everyone was looking at me like, what is this guy doing? I was just kneeling on a really fragile, flimsy box, scooting home. This is why men live longer. This is why women live longer than men, because I don't think a woman would do that. But for me, my yearning for my Dr. Pepper was more important, was worth the risk to my safety of doing what I did. And what I did was very irresponsible. And a few people looked at me to try and communicate that it was irresponsible, but I did it anyway. And thankfully I got my Dr. Pepper home. It is in the fridge. I'm looking forward to having one later tonight. And, you know, we're all happy, but it could have ended in tragedy. Either I could have gotten hurt or the box of Dr. Pepper could have fallen and they all burst. So I am really glad that everything's okay. Lots happening in the world of Jeffrey Epstein's island. I feel like this really just like went under the radar because Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, these two kind of, I guess they were like what, pedophile ring coordinators who had a secret island where underage girls worked and, you know, he had his plane, his jet or whatever. Really interesting. A lot of people, basically the judge or something has released a lot of the names in the Epstein documents, people who were on board Epstein's plane or people that were mentioned in all of this and who traveled to the island. Here are some of the people who were mentioned in the Epstein documents. Donald Trump, no surprises there. Bill Clinton, no surprises there. David Copperfield, the magician. Surprises there because you think he would be able to magic himself into not appearing on the list. I don't know. Prince Andrew, no surprises there. Leonardo DiCaprio, I want to say surprise, but no surprises there. Kevin Spacey, no surprises there. Bruce Willis, that's sad. Cameron Diaz, that is actually quite surprising. George Lucas, also surprising. Michael Jackson, no surprises there. And Stephen Hawking, of all people. Okay. Now, it is really interesting that all of these very, very powerful people were like meeting with or interacting with Jeffrey Epstein. And like it does, so many like conspiracies came out of this, like Jeffrey Epstein mysteriously died and, you know, most people say he was killed and all of that stuff. It's very, very, very crazy. A few things though, because one of the things that happened is like Michael Jackson's named. And when I saw that Michael Jackson was named, and dare I open this can of worms again, because as you know, I've been cancelled in the past for talking shit about Michael Jackson, who was definitely a pedophile, by the way. Michael Jackson was named, but it's interesting because I think this is how misinformation really spreads. It's like everyone's like, yeah, Michael Jackson was on the plane. Michael Jackson actually wasn't. He was just mentioned by someone on the plane in like the flight logs or the records or something like that. He wasn't actually ever on the plane. Right? So all of this misinformation surrounding this Michael Jackson is happening because someone just mentioned his name in a transcript in an interview, right? That they met Michael Jackson there. And interestingly, it's probably the first time that Michael Jackson, interestingly, it's not the first time that Michael Jackson has gotten away with some pretty dodgy behavior around underage people. He seems to be a pro at it. He seems to be an expert at doing dodgy stuff and just getting away with it. So Michael Jackson, very interesting one. The other interesting one is Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, I feel like we all felt that Stephen Hawking was like this universal good guy, super intelligent, knew everything about the universe, theory of the universe, you know, all of that stuff. Did he write A Brief History of Time? Possibly not. Stephen Hawking just was like, felt before he died, like, I feel like he was like, yeah, this is like the most intelligent guy in the world. Now we find out he's involved with Jeffrey Epstein, and now we have to see Stephen Hawking in a different light. I just wanted to see him forever as the universal, good, intelligent guy who uses science for the greater good. But now we have to think negatively of him, and that sucks. Apparently, he liked participating in underage orgies, which I think is absolutely crazy, and I'm not 100% sure how it would even work with him. But it is so weird what is coming out and what it, like, all these celebrities that are allegedly involved with it, right? But here's the main thing I wanted to talk about. Of course, Trump is mentioned. And the main scandal that is coming out from the leaked Epstein documents, the main Trump scandal in all of this, right, is apparently sex tapes exist of Donald Trump, right? As well as others, including Bill Clinton, like, they were secretly recorded having sex with underage people, which is gross, and or like just generally having sex. And there are sex tapes that exist that are not in circulation, but allegedly they do exist, of Donald Trump. And what I think is the most interesting part about this is I never thought there would be a sex tape that literally no one would ever want to watch. But here we are. Because I gotta say, if there is anyone in this world that I don't want to see having sex, it's Donald Trump. And you know, you hear about a lot of sex tapes. You know, Kim Kardashian, oh yeah, like, I guess I'll check it out. Paris Hilton, oh yeah, I guess I'll check that out, right? But when I hear Donald Trump sex tape, I actually think he'll be okay, because I don't think anyone particularly wants to watch it unless they just want to laugh, because you know it will be so awkward and cringy and embarrassing. Really interesting. Would you watch a Donald Trump sex tape? Realistically, do you think you could do that? Just be like, wow, that's what Donald Trump's bum looks like. Just imagine that. If there's one thing I don't want to see in 2024, it's Donald Trump's bum. No Trump bum. We don't need to see that. But yeah, I just think, I think it will be absolutely crazy if this sex tape leaks. Absolutely insane. Moving on from Epstein, I'm in this peculiar circumstance, guys, and hear me out on this, because I've talked on this podcast about how I have PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Plus is basically like a yearly subscription to PlayStation, and in exchange, you kind of get a bunch of free games during the year, which I've really enjoyed. It's just, you know, I'll just download a bunch of games when they come out on PlayStation Plus and just play a bunch of them, right? And over this time of year, basically kind of like December 20 through January 20, I reckon is my peak PlayStation playing of the year, because I just play so much PlayStation, right? Because I have more time. During the year, I'll play a bit of PlayStation, but not as many hours spent as over that period. And the other thing with me when I play PlayStation, and I actually think, you know, the more I think about it, I think it's actually linked to mild elements of obsessive compulsive behavior that I've had all my life, is that I always really like to 100% games, which is basically where you, like, you do everything in the game. And on PlayStation, you get like you get trophies for doing certain things in games, and you get a platinum trophy when you do everything in the game. So I've gotten a bunch of platinum trophies over the years, which is really fun. Sometimes it proves problematic though, including this particular instance where sometimes if I finish a game that was like really intense and I just want to play something light, I'll just go onto PlayStation Plus and I'll try and find like some random game that I can just waste a few hours on. And I ended up finding this game called Ben 10 power trip. Oh boy. Oh boy. This game has become the bane of my existence. Let me explain why. First of all, Ben 10, I assume people listening to this podcast are familiar with Ben 10. I missed Ben 10 as a kid. Like, I knew it existed. I think it was a Cartoon Network show. I knew it existed, but I think I was a bit too old for it when it became big. And also, we never had Foxtel here, so I've never seen an episode of Ben 10. I know what it's about. It's about a boy called Ben Tennyson, which is just a great name, who I think he gets, like, you know, some gauntlet thing that allows him to transform into different aliens with different abilities. It's right up my alley. Like, if Ben 10 hit me at the right age, at the right time, would have been obsessed. I'd be sitting here today telling you everything about Ben 10, but I was just a little bit off, right? I think it's a cool kids show concept, by the way, and it's been rebooted a few times. And so this video game, Ben 10 Power Trip, is obviously based on Ben 10. I'm like, I'm just going to download it because it looks like just an easy, thoughtless game. And I should have been smarter because this exact scenario happened to me last year where I was in the same situation. It possibly was even the same time of year where I, from PlayStation Plus, I downloaded this Ice Age game called Ice Age, like, Scrat's Big Adventure, and it was one of the worst games I've ever played, but I 100%ed it. And that is exactly the road I'm going down with Ben 10 Power Trip, which I've got to say is undoubtedly the worst video game I have ever played in my life. And that's why I say I'm in this peculiar situation where I am literally playing a game that I hate because I want to do everything in it, because I have, like, this mild obsessive compulsive behavioral patterns, right? This game is absurdly shit. It is actually beyond me that this game exists in 2024. I thought it was, like, impossible for games to be this bad, right? And I know what you are all thinking right now. You're all thinking, Mike, this is a dumb children's game. Can you blame it? And you're right. This is a dumb, stupid shovelware kids game that they sell to kids who watch the Ben 10 TV show. This game is not for me or anyone like me, but I'm playing it, right? And I'm experiencing this abomination of a game, right? So, like, it's basically like it's an open world kind of 3D platformer. You do very basic missions. There's combat that's very basic, right? And you can transform into the different aliens. One's super fast, one has fire, one's super strong. This must be crazy for you to be hearing that I'm persisting with this. Here are a few things about this game that I just think are remarkably bad, okay? So if you die in combat, like when you're fighting, you know, you go into like an animation of you dying, but for whatever reason, the jump button still works after you've died for a few seconds. So you basically are just like lying on the ground as a corpse, and then you can just jump and jump off the ground, which is just, you'd think they would have programmed that out, but they didn't. The game just simply cannot handle itself. Like, I'm not even joking. It will just sometimes stop for like 8 seconds. It'll just stop. It'll just be like, nah, we just can't. Whatever is happening right now, we can't load it. So we're just stopping the game for like 8 seconds until the PlayStation can load this game. It is absurd. It is crazy. You're literally like running as the super fast guy, and the game just stops. And I'm sitting there playing this game where every few seconds it just freezes for 4 seconds. And I'm like, why am I playing this? Oh, because I've got to collect all the magic trinkets. Oh, I've got to collect all the records. And I'm like, why though? Right? And I'm persisting with it. There's points in the game where, like, you have to rescue the citizens from monsters. And it's just like, it's a random encounter where there's a random citizen just standing there and it cuts to them and it's like, ah, help me. Ah, monsters, help me. And then you fight the monsters and the citizen is just standing there casually, looking completely unaffected by these massive monsters that are allegedly scaring them and trying to kill them. They're just standing there watching you fight. There's no animation or fear animation or anything like that. And then you beat them. You beat the monsters and they go, wow, thank you. And then that's it. It's unbelievable how little thought went into this game. And then the other thing is, and this is a nightmare for someone like me who tries to 100% games for some reason, the map just doesn't work. Like most games, you have a mini map in the corner, right? I assume most people who listen to this sometimes play games. You got a little mini map in the corner, right? And it shows you kind of the land that you're on and any kind of key features on the map that you might want to go to. The mini map in this just shows nothing. It just shows you in the center and then literally nothing, no information. It might as well not be there. So you have to constantly pause the game to get to the proper map and then look. And then you can't even tell where you're going because the map doesn't show anything. It's literally just a green triangle in the middle that's you and then nothing else. No resemblance to an actual map. So you have to keep pausing the game. When you pause the game, apparently that's too much for the fucking game to handle. So the game basically pauses loading the pause screen for 4 seconds. So every time you want to check the map because you're lost, because the map on the screen fucking shows nothing, you have to wait 4 seconds for the game to actually load that you want to open the pause screen so you can look at the actual map. It is so bad, right? And when you beat certain missions, you get like a stat upgrade and you can choose where you upgrade the stats. You can either do like defense, so you take less damage from enemies, attack, so you deal more damage to enemies, or luck, so enemies drop more money, I think. And I just maxed out attack. I beat the last boss by touching him like three times. It's just like the worst game I have ever played. Again, I know that it is a children's game that is not meant for me. It's meant for kids, but I still think it's pathetic. And the other thing is, like, there's certain points where, like, it wants you, like, platforming challenges, right? Where it wants you to transform into one of the aliens who has a certain ability that can let you cross the thing. But what I realize is the super fast alien, he can make pretty much any jump because you get a speed boost and you can make any jump, right? So you never need a chance. And I'm still going with it. I'm still persisting with this game. Oh God. Hopefully by next week, I will have finished Ben 10. Okay. Moving forward. So much stuff, guys. So much stuff this week. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and again, maybe this is the least relatable podcast on the planet, but you know, that's the point of this. It's just me, guys. This is a podcast about me. For whatever reason, and this does tend to happen every 12 to 18 months or so, I'm getting back into Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's time to do.
I'm getting back into Yu-Gi-Oh! For some reason. No, I'm not really. I think just like, It's just me. Like sometimes I'll just see something from my past and be like, oh, now I just want to watch that. So now I've just been watching like random somehow Yu-Gi-Oh is like now my TikTok algorithm. So every TikTok I get is like, oh, brand new Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Look at these Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Yu-Gi-Oh has got to be I definitely talked about on this pod before, but it justifies another chat. It has got to be the funniest kids show in the world. They are having real world problems, real adult problems, and they decide to settle them by playing a children's card game. And sometimes they're like, if I beat you in this children's card game, you die. And if you beat me, I die. And they're like, bring it on, right? It's crazy. You know, they play this card game, the Duel Monsters card game. Anyway, so the other night I decided to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. Why did I do this? I'm not sure. I just was like, I want to watch this. And my my experience with Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie is a really long, long experience, right? Because I distinctly remember being maybe like 10 years old when this movie came out, and my friend Fletcher, his dad took us to see the movie with my brother and his brother. We went to the cinema and we saw Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. And this is 2004, 20 years ago. And I remember I loved Yu-Gi-Oh! As a kid. I loved Yu-Gi-Oh! I thought it was awesome. But I remember all of us kids around the same age went to the movie, saw this movie, and we were all like, this is the worst movie we have ever seen. We thought this Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie was absolutely terrible, right? I distinctly remember it. I remember Fletcher's dad fell asleep in the movie. Granted, but I wanted to fall asleep too because it was so, so boring. And I think it was the beginning of the end for my love of Yu-Gi-Oh!, both the show and the card game, right? And what I realize is that this created some weird traumatic barrier in my mind where no matter what happens, I never wanted to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light, ever again, right? This crazy, crazy moment. Because I've realized over the years, I've sort of had opportunities to watch the movie, but I just have never done it. And in the back of my head, I feel like my 10-year-old self is going, don't do it, don't do it, right? It's kind of like, funnily enough, in Yu-Gi-Oh!, it's about a kid called Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Yugi, and he's possessed by an Egyptian pharaoh. And sometimes they're friends, but he's still possessed by him. And sometimes the pharaoh is sort of, you can see the pharaoh in his head talking to him and stuff. That's like me with my 10-year-old self with Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. Every time I see it online or anything, it's like, don't watch that movie. Decided to watch it. You know what? I didn't think it was that bad. Maybe in 20 years, I understood it better. Here's what I'm going to say. I think any adult could enjoy Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. I'm putting it out there. I don't think it was as bad as 10-year-old me thought. I don't know why, but maybe I do know why. I actually think it's because 10-year-old me felt so much disappointment in that movie as a 10-year-old that it's like the opposite of hyping something up. Basically, I've spent 20 years hyping it down in my mind, and then as a nearly 30-year-old man, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! The Pyramid of Light, even though I remember it being the worst movie I've ever seen. I put it on. I'm pleasantly surprised. I had a lovely time with Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. I actually thought it was genuinely okay as a movie. And I think here's my message to all of the millennials or Gen Zers out there who saw Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light in the cinemas in 2004. Fletcher, if you're listening, this one goes out to you, mate. Watch it again with a different lens. You might find your taste profile in movies has changed, and you might enjoy Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. Because, you know, it's an interesting story. Yugi, he's possessed by the Egyptian pharaoh. There's another Egyptian pharaoh from the past who's possessing Yugi's enemy, Seto Kaiba, while they're dueling. He comes out, right? He starts dueling Yugi the pharaoh while Yugi the boy is trapped in the pyramids or something with his friends Joey, Tristan, and the girl, Taya, right? It's an engaging story. Yugi's got to strategize and believe in the heart of the cards, and that's the whole thing with Yugi. That's the whole thing, believe in the heart of the cards. Anyway, I'll leave it for you guys to decide if you actually want to watch it or not, but I do think you will get a lot out of watching Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie, The Pyramid of Light. So I had to talk about it today. I might leave it there for today, but again, go to the YouTube channel because I'm going to be putting more videos during the week. Of course, I put videos from these pod, but I'm going to make more YouTube designed videos, I suppose. Let's finish off by doing one of these. Psst, the plug! Patreon.com/RadioMike. Please sign up there if you haven't already. Of course, You can find me on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, pretty much everything. I'm not calling Twitter X. I don't care. I genuinely don't care. What else? Okay, I've done a few guest podcasts recently. There is a playlist on Spotify called Radio Mike Guest Appearances. You can hear all of my guest appearances there. I'd also like to plug, so this week I'm going to be trying, yeah, like I said, I'm going to be trying to do a bunch of videos. I'm going to do a review of Green Day's new album, Saviors, that comes out on Friday. I'm also going to do a video talking about the Switch 2, the successor to the Nintendo Switch, if you're into gaming, and what I think it should be, what I think it should look like, what games I think it should have. And then I also want to do a video talking about how there might be a sequel to Banjo-Kazooie in the works, which if you listen to this podcast for a long time, you'll know I'm obsessed with that game series. So please check those out. Go listen to Harry Potter and the Boys. Go listen to pretty much everything I've done. I don't know. Just listen to my stuff. Consume my stuff. Follow the Potter, TCB Pod on Instagram. I will see you guys next week for another episode. Thanks for listening. My name is Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. Catch you later. I'm not afraid of the dark.